Hey, welcome to the Auburn Daily Show, episode 5, the Friday edition. I'm your host, Lindsey Crosby, chief baseball writer for auburndaily.com, joined by Harrison Tarr, chief women's basketball and softball reporter for Auburn Daily. And Harrison, one, happy hour. But Auburn has added some beef. I don't know if you had dinner plans, but Auburn has added some beef in a commitment from offensive tackle Gunnar Britton, four-year starter from Western Kentucky. What does an addition like this do for the Auburn Tigers and for this offensive line?
Lindsey, I love this addition. Auburn fans should be very excited. This moves it to 7 big boys between freshman recruits and transfer portal targets. And I think that you're probably with me when you agree that they're not done yet. I think Auburn would like to park it somewhere around 9 to 10 big guys. If nothing else, we talked about this a lot, and I think you talked about it on the Auburn Daily, Locked On Auburn earlier in the week. At some point, it's just bodies, right?
Yeah.
At some point, it's just getting enough guys in to rotate in and out. But Gunnar Britton's his frame, 6'6", 305. He's got experience, and the mock air raid that they ran at Western Kentucky, he was a good pass blocker. Mm-hmm. So this opens up an entire new world of opportunities for insert quarterback name here, who will be under center for Auburn in 2023. So I think this is a great move. I mean, not that there's such thing as a bad one when you're adding depth here.
Yeah, and there's a depth chart piece up that Zach Blackerby threw up last night at auburndaily.com, kind of going through what, as of right now, it looks like this depth chart would be on the offensive line. You've got Gunnar Britton at left tackle, which is slam dunk, absolutely no question starter at left tackle. Jeremiah Wright holding on to a job at left guard. Freshman Connor Liu as your starting center, which I understand is a little bit of risk with starting a center in the SEC. But Izavian Miller as your right guard and Dylan Wade as your right tackle. And so, bring like 4 of your 5 starters for next year are newcomers and hired by a coach that was here for less than 30 days. Like, what does that say about the way that this staff approaches talent accumulation and recruiting compared to some of the previous staffs that Auburn has had?
Well, I think that, first and foremost, we know that this is night and day compared to the last two administrations in terms of importance on the line. And it kind of starts there. The comparison between Freeze and Harsin, their, I guess, execution, their philosophy, gosh, I use the word execution, I'm sorry. Their philosophies about recruiting, it's night and day, man. It's not the same. But Freeze said on National Signing Day, and this was a point that he made in his press conference, press conference in the mid-afternoon, that they were going to remain committed to bolstering the trenches in the SEC specifically and at all levels. Football is one of the trenches. That's not a secret. This has been known for a long time. And all he has done since then, or since his arrival on the Plains, is prove to Auburn fans that this is what he's going to prioritize. The skill players are going to come. I think there's a lot of exciting elements there. A lot of great names, namely Rivaldo Fairweather. But I think that, I guess, to answer your question, it's night and day, man. The approach is not the same, and the commitment to, actually recruiting all the time is there. It's not just the gimmicks that we hear anymore. This is something we're seeing, and it's tangible.
It's not just taking pictures with a finger. It's actually doing the work and doing the hard work. And what I like is that you're not just bringing in random players. Like, these are skilled and talented players. So when you look at Britton, his pass block grade, according to PFF, which obviously they're not in the meeting room. There's a little bit of, of unknown there, but that's a pretty objective grading source. 83.9, 24th ranked offensive tackle in the country. And so, like, you're bringing in quality players at positions of extreme need. Like you mentioned, it feels like it's been a decade since we signed a high school offensive tackle. And I think at a certain point, it doesn't matter how good your skill position players are if you don't have that foundation up front. And Hugh Freeze doing all of this work so quickly, one, has to tell you that he understands that whoever the quarterback is, whether it is Robbie Ashford or Holden Gariner or somebody who is or is not in the portal yet, that obviously they need more help. They need something more behind them than just what was left in this room. They need more guys. And I don't think they're done yet. Like you said, Micah Mazzucca, the Baylor starter, I believe Auburn's in the running for them. There's a lot of guys supposed to visit this weekend, coming in for visits with the staff and hopefully getting some more commits over the weekend. But bringing in seven new faces gives this room now more depth and gives you options both next year and down the line. And I think that's the biggest thing, is having hope that this problem that we've all seen for 3 or 4 or 5 years may actually get filled and get fixed, versus just kind of getting a Band-Aid over it and it always kind of being a lingering problem.
And to your point, Lindsay, I think the most important thing is being intentional in every step. Mm-hmm. And not just there's an element of just got to go get guys. And there's an element of that for Auburn in the trenches right now. But we know from what we've heard, it sounds like there's like a long list of 20 plus names, and then a shorter list of guys that the Freeze and company are serious about trying to get. And that position group specifically, but it's being intentional. It's not just going and grabbing people because they're flashy. It's going and getting people because they fit. Mm-hmm. And I know that Auburn fans are going to get scared hearing I'm not going for the best guys or the right guys. That's not what I'm saying. Calm down. I know you've heard this before. Don't panic. But I think that that's the most, I guess, encouraging aspect of the Freeze mentality for recruiting.
Yeah. And all right. So getting plenty of offensive linemen. We've seen Auburn be in the running, supposedly, for some quarterbacks and not necessarily land some of those guys, whether it was, Coastal Carolina, Sam Harper from Wake Forest, different guys like that. Is there a quarterback out there right now that you think is a no doubt, if Auburn gets this guy to transfer to Auburn, who's in the portal, he is the unquestioned starter, or is it something where anybody you bring in at this point is going to be competing with Robbie Ashford for the job?
So this is a great question, Lindsay. And Dylan Lark and I spend about 70% of our free time pondering this and going back and forth on the college loop. It keeps him up at night, definitely keeps me up at night, not really. But I think that if you were going to get a quarterback that was going to be a given starter in 2023, it was going to be Grayson McCall. Mm-hmm. And I know that's not a hot take at all. I think a lot of people would agree with that. I will say I've watched enough film that I've convinced myself that Spencer Sanders fits the mold. There are some Bo Nix-isms in his game, and that's either going to get us likes or dislikes on this video, and I'm not sure which one. We'll figure out later. But I think that he fits a free system well. That being said, I'm of the proponent that iron sharpens iron. Get somebody. Mm-hmm. I don't know that Jariner's completely out from what I've heard as of recently, which is just bizarre for me. But I don't think there's a clear guy that's not named Robbie Ashford.
Yeah, it's something where, one, you just need depth, right? I mean, you're going to go into next season with the assumption that TJ Finley is leaving, as has been reported. You're going to go in with three scholarship quarterbacks in Ashford, Garner, and the former Liberty commit, I think it was Hank Brown. And so you have to have more guys in that room. So going out and getting somebody, whether it's to compete or whether it's to be the starter, it's just going to make everybody better. Like, look at the situation. When you took Robbie Ashford, you weren't taking him to be the starter. You were taking him to be a depth piece in the room, and he ended up starting for you for a majority of the season. So depth has a funny way of working itself out. Don't worry about overloading at the quarterback position, because you're implementing a brand new offensive scheme. Everybody's going to have the same chance to learn the scheme, get up to speed, and the best player will play. You'll obviously have depth for their stuff. I do also like to point out the other reason to not be worried about taking a transfer quarterback is once you've transferred once, it's a lot harder to transfer again until you graduate. And so if you get somebody
doing that right now,
yeah. Like, Finley's learning that. He would have probably already entered the portal if not for the fact that 100%. He's got to graduate first, because he already transferred once. And so you're able to get guys who have been in a Division I weight room, who have already done some of that physical development, have already done some of that work. You're able to bring them in, and you have more information on them because you have coaching contacts you can talk to. You have practice film, you have game film of them at other schools, and find the guys that fit the offense that Philip Montgomery and Hugh Freeze want to run, and kind of pick and choose who the best option is there. And if I had to place a bet on who would do well in this offense what a guy would produce, Harrison, I think I would do it with Prize Picks. Auburn Daily has partnered with Prize Picks to bring fun and variety to the picks for 2023. It's a free app that allows you to choose any 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6 players from any sport predict the over or under for their next game and win big prizes if they do well. They have flex options. You can get paid on winning 3 of 5 or 2 of 3. You can have multiple sports in the same parlay. You can have college basketball, the NFL, and Counter-Strike Go in the same parlay. Yeah, it's wild. Use promo code Auburn to get double on your first deposit up to $100. It's promo code Auburn for double on your first deposit. I was actually looking at some of the Prize Picks odds for the national championship game on Monday night. And there's a couple things that I find really interesting in these lines. So Jordy Sandy, the punter for TCU, the over-under on punts is 4.5. Do we really think Georgia's going to force less than 5?
That is free money.
Like, that is absolutely free money. So you, like, you just combine and pick a couple of these. You can go and look at pass yards. They've got Max Duggan and Stetson Bennett. You can look at rush yards. They've got both quarterbacks. They've also got Kenny McIntosh for Georgia at 64.5. You can go in, you can look at fantasy scores. You can look at field goals made. Just tons of options. Obviously, you combine this with college basketball. There's no Auburn lines up at the moment. They usually pop up the day of the game. But you can look at, there's soccer, there's tennis, there's League of Legends. There's everything out there. So win some money with Prize Picks and Auburn Daily. Use promo code Auburn to receive double on your first deposit up to $100. That's promo code Auburn for double on your first deposit. Talking about playing and maybe not the outcome you were looking for, you were watching women's basketball on Thursday night as they took on South Carolina. How did that go, Harrison?
How do you think it went, Lindsay? Let me ask you. let me answer your question with the question. I mean, that sounds just so unnecessarily rude, and I don't mean that in a condescending tone. When you're going head-to-head with Dawn Staley, who is my GOAT, and the entirely ridiculously talented South Carolina roster headlined by, you know, Aaliyah Boston is literally going to be an all-pro in the WNBA. And that's not an opinion. That's a fact. Auburn got curb stomped. I don't know how else to put that. Losing 94-42, you lose by 50. And I hadn't even gone back and dug to see when the last time that Auburn lost by 50 was. I'd imagine it was probably only a year ago. But there were some points that made you look at it, and if you're an Auburn fan, go like, this wasn't that bad. Mm-hmm. And it was pretty hard to watch. But just looking at the box, Auburn's been struggling in the SEC, turning the ball over 20 plus times against lower level SEC talent. They go into Columbia and they only turn the ball over 12 times. Someone explain it to me. It does not make sense. Other than the fact that you play better when you play better teams. That's typically how that goes. Mm-hmm. Aisha Koulibaly continues to be a bright spot for this roster. 16 points tonight, 7-21 from the field, which, I mean, that not great, but you've got to put up shots when nobody else is doing it and nobody else can get to the rim. One for three from deep, and just not getting to the line enough because South Carolina does not foul. They are the most disciplined team in college basketball year in, year out. Like I said, Dawn Staley, it's a well-oiled machine.
Auburn had 12 free throws for the entire game, which is just absurd.
Yeah, no, bonkers. And at some point, you would think there's something you do about that. And I don't want to say throw in the towel, the game's over before it starts. But if there was ever a situation, Lindsay, this might be it. Because it's one of those things that's like, you want to go in. And Auburn did this in large. And you want to use this as an opportunity to get better and play against. You're legitimately not going to play a better team than this all. You're statistically impossible. Sydney Shaw, freshman guard, has impressed me all year. She went out and dropped 11 today. She's 1 for 4 from three, but her element of, you know what, like, if no one else is going to shoot, I'm going to shoot. No, I'm going to facilitate the floor. I'm going to hustle, go get rebounds, box out. And even though she's one of the smaller players on the team, continues to make her presence known on the defensive and the floor as much as you can against a team that almost hangs 100 on you. But there are bright spots on this team. They're just missing honesty Scott Grayson. If HSG is on this floor, Auburn's probably 2-1 in conference play. I mean, they got beat up on pretty bad by Ole Miss to begin the season, but like, the matchups aren't there. She is the it factor. Mm-hmm. So
when is she expected back? Because I know that there was some question about when you'd get her back in the lineup. And obviously, like you said, the team's hurting in SEC play without her. How long do you think she'll be out?
All speculation. because I from what I've been informed, her injury was non-basketball related. It sounds not super serious. I think that I think they were expecting for her to be able to possibly play against Missouri 2 games ago, and that obviously didn't happen. Mm-hmm. Like I said, speculation, shouldn't do it for injuries, but I'm going to do it anyways. You almost wondered, you keep her out of the South Carolina game just to reserve from being hurt more so. Probably not the case. I'd be surprised if she plays against Alabama. Alabama's a very talented team again this year. If Auburn can steal one from Bama, that'd be impressive. I would think probably sometime next week. I think the earliest return you actually see from her is LSU in Baton Rouge on the 15th.
Yeah, and it's a shame if she's not able to make it for Sunday's game, because this is the Alabama matchup that's at home. Theoretically, this is going to be the easier one to win. When you go back and you play them in February, that's going to be in Tuscaloosa, which honestly, nobody should have to do that. And I feel for the athletes that have to make the trip to Tuscaloosa every year to play sports and things like that. But it's interesting, for a new coach, a new system, kind of establishing her players, the turnover you've seen on the roster, what kind of grade midseason here can you give Johnny Harris for the job that she's done with this team, whether it's recruiting, whether it's coaching, whether it's, in-game adjustments? How can you grade her at this point in the season?
Lindsay, this is actually an easier question than it probably should be. I would still give Coach J an A-. It is unbelievable to see people on the Bird app that decide that they should go on and tell everyone that Johnny Harris was an abysmal failure of a hire. You folks were clearly not watching the Terry Flournoy days at Auburn. You weren't. This team ahead of SEC play statistically was on pace to be as good in every category is the 2018 that won 32 games and went to the Final Four. Mm-hmm. That's not going to happen this year. The SEC is way deeper than it was in 2008. That's just kind of the way of the land now. We're used to this in every sport. But her talent evaluation, her ability to recruit, and her commitment to playing her brand of basketball and tailoring her players to her scheme is nothing short of impressive. Romy Levy was always an impressive defender. This year, she's a lockdown defender, and she's shooting from anywhere on the floor. Honestly, Scott Grayson before this year just did not like playing defense. And, honestly, I played a bunch of pickup. I get it. But
it's never the fun part of pickup basketball's defense.
I just can't wait to go defend, guys. Honestly, Scott Grayson may be an all-SEC defensive player this year. Just a year one to year two turnover. Internal development is nothing short of impressive. All of her young talent is worth keeping an eye on. I think Sydney Shaw is probably going to make a run for SEC Freshman of the Year. She'll definitely be at least second team All SEC, All SEC Freshman Team rather. I'm impressed by everything Coach J does, and her not to drag Coach Flo through the bus before her. I'm drag Coach Flo through the mud, but Coach J's involvement within the Auburn community, she's taking notes about what BP has done and is mirroring that platform. It worked for Bruce.
She absolutely has. I've seen her, whether it's on Twitter, in person, I've seen her all over, and really kind of understanding when you come in to a program that has not been doing great before you got there, you have to do the extra work to get people to your games, to get people excited in your program. And a program that people are pretty excited about that's done well in the last couple of years is the Auburn baseball program. Butch Thompson, head coach, I think just celebrated, I want to say 7 years in the, just started his 8th season at the helm of Auburn Auburn baseball. And he's in a situation right now where you lost a lot of talent from last year's team that went to Omaha to the College World Series for the second time in the last 3 full seasons. And so you graduated 8 players to MLB. None of them had been drafted before. And that's a big thing that Butch Thompson's talked about is, we sent 8 players. We developed these players to the point where MLB had not been interested in them before and is now interested in them. But brought in a recruiting class, top 5 class, didn't lose a single prep commit to the draft, which in case you're not familiar with it, MLB is the one of the only major sports where you can get drafted out of high school or out of college. So a little bit tougher as far as roster management goes, as far as managing your scholarships and things like that. But big goal here is to reload and try to figure out who's going to play where as we get into conference play or get into the season starting in February.
Lindsay, if you don't mind, I don't want to cut you off, but I did have a question for you in terms of reloading. And we talked a little bit before we jumped on air. Can you walk me through replacing this whole rotation and the bullpen for that matter? Blake Burkhalter is not going to be trotting out of that bullpen this year. So we've got questions, and neither is Trace Bright, which is the weirdest, biggest question mark in the world for me. But I need you to walk me through it.
Okay, so out of the rotation, Trace Bright drafted by the Orioles. You send Mason Barnett to the Royals. Hayden Mullins goes to the Red Sox. You send all of these players out of your rotation, out of your bullpen, like you mentioned. Blake Burkhalter goes to the Braves. Carson Skipper goes to the Rockies. And so those five guys are gone. Your infield, three of your four starters in the infield, and Cason Howell, he's a Cardinal. Sonny DeShera, he's an Angel. Blake Rambusch, he's a Seattle Mariner. And your fourth player is Cole Foster, who moves from second base to shortstop. And so you're, in essence, replacing your entire rotation minus Joseph Gonzalez and your entire infield because Cole Foster's changing positions. On the mound, the big thing is I don't think Auburn quite knows who that third starter is going to be yet. Joseph Gonzalez comes back. He is draft eligible after this season. He's a top 100 prospect with very good reason. Pitch for Team USA over the summer was running the two-seam fastball up to about 95. Chase Alsup worked out of the bullpen last year, but is now going to be a starter, a power guy. His fastball sits about 95. His slider is a power slider. He has a big curveball to go with it. That third spot, that's the big question. You've got a lot of options, lots of guys that it could be. And I just wrote this up on Wednesday for Auburn Daily. It's titled Auburn Baseball New Year's Resolutions. But we kind of go through, and this is job number one for Butch Thompson and Gabe Gross and Darren Schoenrock, the new pitching coach, is figure out who's going to be your number three. Tommy Sheehan, he transferred in for last season from Notre Dame, was working his way back from a partial Tommy John surgery, didn't quite get his form back until late in the year. Looked pretty good. The last 15 innings he threw on the year, he gave up one run, but started off kind of rocky, didn't look that great at the beginning. To go along with that, you brought in a JUCO transfer and Tanner Bowman. He's actually one of the top 50 JUCO transfers in all of college baseball. Another lefty, kind of like a lot of lefties, has a little bit lower velocity, sits about 90 on his fastball, but has a really good slider, has a changeup that disguises really well with the fastball. Like you can't tell it's a different pitch until it gets almost to the plate. And then you've got a couple freshmen, really talented freshmen, top 50 prep players who could have been high draft picks who you got to campus. Lefty Zach Crotchfeldt, righty Hayden Murphy, and both of them have really, really appealing, interesting pieces, but they're also still raw. They were in high school a year ago, and now they're in the SEC. So the way I think it's going to end up is you're going to start off, like, to open the season, when you take on Indiana in the, I want to say the second week of February, you're probably going to have a veteran like a Sheehan as your Sunday starter, your third starter. But I think you're going to find places to work those freshmen in. And by conference play, I think Auburn's going to be pretty confident in having one of them be your Sunday starter and the other one probably working in midweeks. Once they get a little experience with the college game and some of the more advanced hitters that they're going to face, and knowing that their arsenal has the ability to get those guys out.
Right on. Was there another point you wanted to carry build off to that point, or are we good to kind of we're close on time?
Yeah. No, we are absolutely good. This has been another great episode. This is the first week of the Auburn Daily Podcast. We are back on Monday. You're going to have Dylan and Lance here for the Auburn Daily Podcast. In the meantime, do us a favor, go out to subscribe to the show on the YouTube channel. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Share it with your friends. Leave us a comment. Leave us a review. 5 stars if you could. That would be great. Until Monday, this has been the Auburn Daily Show.